veo jamás. Mientras nosotros escaparemos de esta
mierda.
Yahweh is coming, you better get ready. Yeah, now Yahweh is coming and you better get ready. Yahweh's coming on high if you make it through. Woke up this morning, got Yahweh on my mind.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, woke up this morning, got Yahweh on my mind. If you're so good, think about him all the time.
Yeah, I do.
Yahweh, Yahweh, praise him every day.
Come on now.
Yes, Yahweh, Yahweh, praise him every day. Praise his name, praise his name. This is what you say.
Come on now.
Woke up this morning, got Yahweh on my mind.
Somebody say praise Yahweh.
Woke this morning, got Yahweh on my mind. If you said good things about him all the time.
Well, greetings, everybody. Praise Yahweh. We're glad to be in here tonight. We're still in Festival in Andrews, North Carolina. We're on the old altar tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And we're praising Yahweh. We're giving him praise. We're giving him honor. And tonight we got some more witnesses. We're going to let them witness to you. Praise Yahweh very quickly. We're going to give the old phone here to
KW. KW, say something for y'all.
Hello, Israelites. This is JW, and I'm from Durand, Michigan. I drove down here a long ways, and it's the best thing that will happen this year. I feel that I'm with a family of Yahweh's children, his chosen seed line. I'm very thankful for his prophet, our pastor, Pastor Buddy. And I've got to tell you, when I was first introduced to Pastor Buddy about a year ago, I played devil's advocate with him. I called him all the time from Michigan, and he'd say something, and I'd research it and tear it apart in the Bible. And I have yet to find error with the man and his teachings. The Bible instructs us to study, to show ourselves worthy, properly discerning the Word. The Word is a mystery. And if we study it and are showed, he'll reveal it to you. So I would employ all of you to study graciously, read graciously. And if you have questions, call Pastor Buddy.
Amen. Praise God.
And I'm thankful to Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
Thank you, Brother J.W. From Durand, Michigan. Miss Linda, I'm up in the peninsula, I guess, almost in the thumb of Michigan. Go ahead.
This is Linda from the northern woods in Michigan, where I live in the beautiful nature that Yahweh has blessed us with. And I don't like to leave home very much, but when it comes time to being with my brothers and sisters and celebrating the Feast of Yahweh, I go. I go where he takes me.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh and hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Miss Linda. All right, Miss Louise. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. I'm from East Tennessee, North Carolina. Neighbor, I like to praise Yahweh and thank him for all my blessings and all my brothers and sisters.
Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. All right, Brother R.C., you're going to give us a little harp music there?
First of all, my friends, this is R.C. And kind of got a bad throat. But anyway, we're going to give it a first class try. I'm going to do it for our King and Savior, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 68:4.
Thank you. Yahweh. Psalm 68:4. Thank you, RC. Miss Jen?
Hello, this is Jan from Central Michigan, and I'm glad to be at Passover this year, 2009. And it's a blessing to be here. We learn something every year, and we praise Yah, and He's high and holy, and we're blessed to be here.
Praise Yahweh. All right, Brother Fred, from down here in the great state of Michigan.
I'm also from Michigan, in the northern part of the Lower Peninsula, and I'd like to say one thing. I'd like to challenge all of you out there to come to our feast in the name of Yahweh and see what it is all about.
Praise Yahweh. Thank you, Freddie. All right, we got a native of North Carolina, believe it or not, here in the representing the great state of North Carolina, Brother Odell. Give us a testimony.
Greetings, all of you, Jacob Israel. We've had a wonderful time here this week. We've had people come, people go, and if you knew what how good of a time we were having, you would have made plans to come down and been with us. I live here in the great state of North Carolina. I live in the heart of the Smoky Mountains, and we've got a big crowd, had a bigger one. Look for more to come tomorrow, and I just wish you could have been here.
And
we love Jacob wherever you're at, all over the world, and I hope tonight, if you're listening, that we can see you next time you come, and we love the King, and we're saying that, hallelujah.
Praise Yahweh. I'm up here in Miss Virginia and gave you testimony. Praise Yahweh. Another North Carolinian.
I'm Virginia, and I'm from real close here in North Carolina, and I'm so very thankful to be here and praise my Father Yahweh, and it's a wonderful opportunity to be here, and it would be good for all of us to be here together.
Amen. Praise
God. Hallelujah.
Covenant greetings they send out to you, ladies and gentlemen. These are the testimonies of the saints that are represented. We've got several states represented. We're having a great time. We are in the latter part of the feast. We're winding down, but man, I'm telling you, we're action live tonight. We're right here on the old-fashioned altar with the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and we honor our Creator and our Savior and our King. All right, Brother John, representing the great state of Illinois. Brother John?
Thank you, Pastor Buddy. I do believe that Yahweh came and died for our sins. Without that, we have no chance for salvation.
Amen.
However, even if you believe that He came and died for your sins, you're still not going to go to heaven. You have to heed what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. After Peter had preached to the people were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Yahweh.
Amen.
For the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter also exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, I believed for a long time that Jesus was my Savior, and I believed that for 57 years. However, it wasn't until I found the name of Yahweh and got rebaptized for the remission of my sins, that's when I started my true walk of faith to heaven. Praise be to Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Brother John. All right, Brother Randy.
This is Randy from Michigan. Just want to say we've been down here this Passover, just having a wonderful time, getting some wonderful teachings from Pastor Buddy. We've learned a lot. We kind of hate to see it end. But anyway, I just want to praise Yahweh and thankful that I love Him and He loves me.
Amen. Praise Yahweh. All right, Brother Michael, from representing, I guess, the great state of Indiana.
Praise Yahweh. All you out there, still out there in the phony religious day name, take a search in your heart, see what name of language was written above the torture state who died for you. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Search, ancient nor modern, will you by the day. So just let your day on the rocker rock on out here and roll and get in the name of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
Well, praise Yahweh, everybody. Just a few samplings of the many of God. We're going to get into the Word tonight, and we're going to ask you to get your Bibles. You're listening to us live right here in Murphy, North Carolina, on the top of the mountain of the Smoky Mountains with the folks that are gathered around the old-fashioned altar as we worship our Creator and honor Him tonight. We send you covenant greetings to the house of Israel scattered abroad. People are listening in foreign countries. You're live tonight on WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel, the transmitting jewel around the earth. We're also being simulcast on live streaming internet, so you may be listening there. And the micro broadcasting stations around the country and perhaps around the world, they are streaming our broadcast live tonight to the saints in glory land. You know, everybody wants to go back to the sandbox and think that's Israel. Well, we have a message today and a teaching out of the scriptures that the Bible says that when Israel were removed, they would never return. It also said that about Judah. And so the house of Judah, one house, the house of Israel, become one house. And America's picking up the whole boat of them, and you better believe that the main body of the house of Israel resides right here in the good old USA of America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some scriptures, and we're going to start tonight in the book of Job. We're going to talk to you about the eternalness of the soul. We want you to stay tuned. We want you to get your Bibles. We want to teach you a little bit what time we've got left tonight as time is moving on. All right, Brother Randy, if you will minister to us here tonight and be a reader. Brother John from Illinois is going to be reading. Brother Randy is going to be handling the mic. Brother Randy, let's start in the book of Job, chapter 38, Brother John.
Chapter 38, verse 21. Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is asking of Job a question here in Job chapter 38, and he wanted to know if his days was long and great, and did he have any remembrance. All right, John, in the 19th chapter, the 24th verse and the 25th verse, we're going to read that, the scripture here.
Verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Well now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Here is Job. It's the oldest book in the Bible according to Bible experts. Here is a man that declared, after the skin worms had debarred that present body that he was in, that sometime in the future, this had to be a future event because the Messiah hadn't been born yet, but he said, I know that after the skin worms debar my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. You think maybe Job could have lived in a future time and advanced into the time when the Messiah was on earth? Well, that's what the Bible says. Now, let me ask you a question here tonight. In Luke chapter 16, verse 31, Brother John, is a scripture that is very indicting. Then we're coming back to the book of Job, and we're going to read the 14th chapter and the 14th verse, 14 and 14 of Job. And then we're going to Luke 16:31, and if you will, read 16:31 of Luke first. You know what? Yahweh is a thorough guide, and he's not got any temporary people.
And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this Messiah's testimony. Now, Job proclaimed that he would hear the testimony because he said, I will stand in my body and in my flesh body again, and I will see the Messiah in a future day. Now, that's after he died. So we know that Job had an eternal hope, and all of Yahweh's children are eternal beings. An eternal being has no beginning and no end. Well, that's about like Yahweh is, isn't it not? And did you know that you might have an opportunity to come back, and we're going to prove to you that some did in the Bible. Now, Brother John, read Job 14:14.
If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes.
Now, Job asked the question. Now, Yahweh's done alerted him. He's giving the message. Job has responded. I know that after the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh I still see God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom. And everybody's going to say, well, he saw him up in heaven. Well, there ain't going to be flesh bodies there. The righteous are going to inherit the earth. And so then, with the righteousness of the saints inheriting the earth, a time when Job would ask the question of this caliber, he only asked the question of having to live again. All right, now, Brother John, we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to start around the 12th verse when the Messiah was up on the mountain, and this is during Tabernacles, by the way, Brother Randy. He was up in Tabernacles, and he was keeping Tabernacles. Peter, James, and John were with him. And the Bible says that the Messiah was translated, transformed. And by being transformed, he exposed his glory as the eternal being. And Peter said, it's good that we've been here. Let us build one tabernacle for you. One for Moses. Now, wait a minute, folks. Moses had been dead approximately 1,500 years. Also, there was someone else with him, and it was John who had been there, Elijah, in the presence of Elijah. Elijah had been dead for 1,000 years, so we got Elijah, 1,000 years, and Moses, dead, 1,500 years, both of them. According to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, were present talking after they died, after that they had departed this life. Now, we know that Elijah was translated, but Moses had a grave upon the same mountain that they're standing on, and here's the question in the 12th verse. Brother John?
The 12th verse. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist.
Now, folks, the reason we're putting the cart before the horse here, because we're trying to make a point. Now, if John the Baptist was Elijah, and we're going to read on just a minute a little bit further down into the scriptures to prove that he was, the Messiah told the disciples after that they had asked the question. Now, this is a question in Malachi, in chapter 4, and we're going to read that scripture in Malachi, the book of Malachi, chapter 4. All right, brother, read the scripture.
Chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh.
All right. Now, John just read you in Matthew 17 that when the disciples asked the question, why is it, if you're the Messiah, and you really are who you say you are, why then does the scribe say that Elijah must first come before the Messiah and restore all things? Now, John read the scripture, and John, I want you to read it again there in the book of Matthew, where it says, I tell you that Elijah has already come, and you knew him not.
Verse 12, But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist.
All right. Now I want to ask you a question. Was Elijah truly reincarnated into another flesh body? We know that John was a little baby. We know that Elizabeth was pregnant with John in the belly when Mary and the announcement of Gabriel, 6 months into the pregnancy, Mary walked into the presence of Elizabeth, and did the babe leap in her womb?
Yes.
Was it John the Baptist?
Yes.
Well, was the Messiah lying when he said it was Elijah?
No.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got a problem here. If we don't believe in life after death, if we don't believe that we're eternal beings, then the scriptures are wrong, Christianity's wrong, but see, Christians have been dumbed down to accept the fact that reincarnation is evil, and we shouldn't even mention it in the congregation of the Christian churches, that we live again. Well, if we're eternal beings, do you think we just die and go on into heaven and languish and lay on a proverbial cloud and play the harp and just wait for eternity and eternity and thousands of years till we get our reward? I don't think so. You know what? Till we all come into the knowledge. I can't inherit without Michael. I can't inherit without J.W. And we got to love one another and bring everyone into the presence of Yahweh perfected. Is that what it said? Be you perfect, for I am perfect. So then Yahweh has given you an opportunity to come in to the presence of Yahweh. Now we're going to tell you exactly in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, how old Elijah, who didn't see death, according to the Bible, he was translated out. But here he is, according to the Messiah, that John was Elijah come in a flesh body. Well, now, how did he go up into heaven? And with what body did he come back as a spirit to be born in Elizabeth's body? And the mysteries keep on keeping on. Well, I want to ask you a question. Was the Messiah seen in Deuteronomy chapter 30, or Exodus chapter 33? Did Yahweh walk before Moses? And Moses asked him, Brother Randy, he asked him a hard question. He said, I want to see you. I'm tired of just hearing a voice. I'm tired of the earth shaking and quaking. I'm tired because the people demand a presence and a body, and we need to put a body that we can see in the voices that we've heard. What did Yahweh say? Well, you've asked me a hard thing. But nevertheless, if you will, stand over in the crevice of the rock, and I will put my hand. Now, a spirit don't have hands. So he had to have a body with hands on it. And he said, I will hold my hand over your eyes, because you can't see my face and live. But when I walk by you, I will remove my hand. Is this what Yahweh told him? And he said, you will see my face. Or, you can't see my face, but you can see my what? My hinder parts. Well, did Yahweh walk before Moses? And did he take his hand off? And who do you think he seen? Yahweh, in a flesh body. Now, ladies and gentlemen, was it true that Moses, the same one that got to see him, you think he might have recognized him in the 17th chapter, Brother Randy, as he was standing there, 1,500 years after he supposedly died, he's standing there with the Messiah, talking with him, and if he'd seen him once, you think he might have known him again?
Yes.
He knew him simply because he'd been introduced to him in Exodus chapter 33 when he seen his presence. Now, we're going, Brother John, we're going over to 2 Kings, and we're going to read the scripture over there in the book of Kings.
2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces.
Amen.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Elijah was a mighty prophet. Did you know what the Messiah said when he was here upon the earth and John was preaching water baptism? Was he called the immerser? Wasn't he named the one to come and make a highway in the desert of the book of Isaiah chapter 40 verses 1 and 2? It said, I will send you Elijah. And he will prepare the way before me, and he will make a highway in the desert for God. Well, who do you think that was that he was preparing for him? Who do you think that was that he was talking to upon the mountaintop, like we are tonight, high in the Smoky Mountains on the altar of Yahweh? Of course, we're in Passover, but they were in tabernacles. We'll be back here, Yahweh willing, in tabernacles in October. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the mysteries of Yahweh. Now, if a man die, will he live again? Well, if there was no chance for a man to live again, why was Job asking that question, Brother Odell? He had a plan. Yahweh knows his children, and his children are eternal. Now, let me read you a scripture here, or quote it for you. No man. Now remember, Moses had died, and we know that he went to heaven. After that the Messiah resurrected Moses, the Bible says in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, we have a war. Now this war was fought for one reason. Just as soon as Moses ascended into heaven, actually got through talking with the Messiah, the Bible said that the devil wanted and desired the body of Moses. Is that what it said? He actually started a war in heaven over the fact wanted Moses' body. Now, why would he want Moses' body? Well, because this represents the body of the law. And Satan was, up until the law ceased, was the accuser of the brethren under the law. And nobody could inherit. Just as soon as Moses fulfilled his ministry in the Levitical covenant, he was sent into heaven after the Messiah resurrected him. And he went into heaven, and Satan warred with Michael and his angels, contending with the devil over the body and the dispute of Moses. And that's what the Bible said, correct? Now, if that's true, then we know that no man is ascended into heaven. And Moses certainly went, did he not? Save he which came down out of heaven. Now, where did Moses come from? He was a little baby floating on the water. Nobody knows who his parents was. He was just found floating, and an Israelite woman, she who waited on him and got him in the little reed boat that he was laying in. Who laid him in there? Nobody knows. But let me tell you something. She guarded Moses with all of her life. And Moses was a very unique man. There was something different about him. He had a knowledge far exceeding an earthly knowledge. Did you know the Bible said that he forsook? Because when Pharaoh adopted Moses into the family of the Egyptians, although he wasn't Egyptian, we prove that, because he defended the Hebrew slaves and killed an Egyptian man and fled because he knew that it would be instant death because they would kill him for killing this Egyptian guard that Moses killed. And he went up into a country up in Saudi Arabia, present-day Saudi Arabia, and he tended sheep for a certain man called Jethro. And there he married, and there he was established, and he was up there for years. Now, he was 40 years old when he went to the mountain up in Saudi Arabia.
Yahweh told him at the burning bush to go back and deliver the people that he loved. He was 80 years old, was he not? How long, Brother Randy, did he lead the children of Israel?
40 years.
40 years.
All right. How old would that make him when he died?
120.
Three-fourths is 120, and the Bible says, here's about Moses. He said that his strength was not abated. Is that right? Did he say his eyesight was okay? Perfect. So, Moses was a perfect in specimen when Yahweh told him to go up on the mountain. I don't know where he went to, Brother Odell. Maybe one of those chariots that picked up Elijah took him somewhere and kept him for all of those years, 1500 to be exact, around 1500, into the future when he's again seen upon the same mountain as with the Messiah, keeping tabernacles, and Moses and Elijah appeared unto the Messiah, and they talked with him about the pending death that the Messiah himself would go through. Is that correct? That's what they talked about. They said, well, it's about time, Yahweh, that you're fixing to die for the house of Israel. Now, just fled because he had killed, and Yahweh stood his ground and got killed. Is that right? He stayed faithful. Now, we just took communion here on the altar, and we remembered death, and we lifted the cups in remembrance of him the night of the passion that he laid on the ground with his face, and he asked the spirit in him to release him from the obligation of having to die, because he was a flesh man like you are. But the spirit in him was strong enough, praise Yahweh. It was strong enough that he went to the torture stake and he hung on a tree and he died. When they opened up his side, they wounded him and they bruised him for our iniquity. And the Bible said the third day he rose, conquering death, hell, and the grave, and he's alive forevermore, and he'll never die again, and he's coming back with power and great glory. And let me tell you something, saints. All of those who have passed over, ain't gonna be no graveyard, ain't gonna be no rapture, ain't gonna be no graves busting up. And you know why? Because the Bible says those that remain will not prevent him that sleeps. 2 Peter 3:16. It says they will not prevent them to sleep, for Yahweh will bring them with him. If I'm on the other side, I'll come back on those chariots that picked up old Elijah and the angels. And did you know something, ladies and gentlemen? Yahweh, according to the book of the Psalms, chapter 68, the brother just played it, verse 4, you go over to verse 15, and it said the chariots of Yahweh are thousands. Thousands times thousands. Did you know that the old prophet that had his eyes opened could see all those chariots in the mountain? He saw all those guardian angels. And don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that you're encamped around about with angels? We just had a testimony of a brother that was wading in a river. And he said that he was fixing, he didn't know it. It was a strange river to him. He didn't know that there was a deep hole there. And he was waiting, fishing, and just waiting along, and there was a voice spoke to him and said, get out of the river now. And when he got out, a brother that was up the river told him that there was a deep 20-foot hole there. He would have died, except his guardian angel delivered him that day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are all encamped about with angels, Sister Jan, that we can't see. They guard us day and night. And if it wasn't so, the devil would take us all captive. It's his own will, Brother Odell. You've been through many scrapes and you wondered how you come out of. There is an encampment of angels that you can't see in their chariots waiting to patiently lift us up like they lifted up Elijah and took him home and brought him back in the womb of Elizabeth, his mother. And that was, the Bible said, Brother John, you read it. It said that that was Elijah, if you can receive it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to in the churches. They've smoothed it over, and they believe the serpent lie that living again is of the devil. They've also lied when they told us that astrology is of the devil. That's true. We read in 2 and 1 in the book of Daniel that Daniel was a chief astrologer, according again to the 5th chapter of the book of Daniel and the 11th verse, that Daniel was a wise man and he was over the Babylonian astrologers and magicians. Is that what it said? He was the chief of Babylon's magicians and their astrologer. Now, what about astrology? Well, astrology is an interpretation of the stars. Well, let me tell you something. The Christian church frowns on astrology. You know why? Because they don't want nothing to do with the signs in the heavens. Well, the Messiah told us to look up. Look into the heavens. Now, let me show you somebody that did. There was kings that came out of the east, did they not? Now, you see, Israel has already become apostate. They had forgotten their ways. Our forefathers, even the tribe of Issachar, are noted astrologers. Does the Bible say that the tribe of Issachar were noted in the signs of the heavens? You know what? They know that. And here come these kings from the east, wise men according to the Bible. The Christian would call them devils, because the false preachers have got you out of pretense, telling you lies, and people are believing it. When the wise men came, did they know where the Messiah was going to be born? How did they know that? Did they get a telegram? Was their FedEx dropped off an envelope? Did the Pope say that he was going to be born? Ladies and gentlemen, it says that they saw his sign in the heavens. Amen? And the signs told them, wise men, had to be astrologers, they know the position of them, astronomers and astrologers, they know the position of the stars, and they were ready, they were able to read them, the position, and they got the message, a king is going to be born. And old Herod didn't have enough sense to look up because he didn't know where he was at, did he? Now, when the wise men, and the Christian would call fools, and astrologers, they're afraid of you. You've been vaccinated with the ignorance and the fear and the superstition of the ignorant. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. They took the truth of Yahweh's plan. Yahweh himself asked Job if he could cast a zodiac. Is that right? That's in the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 21, if you'd like to read it. John was there very close. And it says to Job, Job, can you cast a mazarot? That means in the Greek word, the equivalent to mazarot, the Hebrew word, is zodiac. Can you chart a zodiac? Can you position the stars? And can you describe to me what they're going to say? Well, I guarantee you Daniel could. Daniel could do it because he was a wise man and a chief astrologer. So the Christians are going to have to open up their mind and get in the Bible and know that they pass from life unto death with the truth. And you'll never get free until you get the truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Yahweh is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and what? Well, they'll say, well, we're going to go over to the book of Ecclesiastes, Brother John, and we're going to read chapter 1, verse 7.
Verse 7. All the rivers run into the sea, if the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again.
Verse 9.
The thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
Now, could you read that again?
Do you get that, Scripture?
Get it in your spirit. Read it again.
The thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
All right. Let's go over to the third chapter. And let's read the 15th verse, Brother John.
That which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. and Yahweh requireth that which is past.
Amen. Wait a minute now. John, could you read that one more time for him?
That which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and Yahweh requireth that which is past.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we told you about the violence, the war in heaven over the body of Moses, the disputing of that body. We're going to prove that and tell you that the Messiah recognized that war that started as soon as that Moses was translated into heaven. The devil sprung into action according to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations. And now in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 13, we're going to see exactly, just exactly what happened, Brother John.
For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elijah which was for to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're asking you to open up your spiritual ear, not your natural ear. You can't hear this gospel. You've been vaccinated against it. You've been conditioned against it. The tradition of our teaching tonight is against it. You're going to have to open up your spiritual ears and dig deeper than what you've ever dug before you can see this mystery. Could you repeat that?
For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear.
Now, I don't know how much plainer that the Bible needs to be. If you have an ear to hear, could you believe that John was Elijah to come? All right, if Elijah was translated into heaven and come back in Elizabeth's womb, how is that possible? Again, let me quote the scripture. No man, including Elijah, Moses, or the Messiah, has ever ascended into heaven, and all three of them did. And I read it. Well, then before then they must have come from where? Except he which comes down out of heaven. So they came down out of heaven as special anointed beings, purposed by the pre-knowledge of our Father to send them down here. Moses was a sent child. Elijah was a sent child. Both of them went back to heaven. And so then, John the Baptist, we know, was back in Elizabeth's womb. And he was, according to John here, just read you the scripture in Matthew chapter 11, that was by the Messiah's mouth himself, said, if you'll have it, if you can hear it, that was Elijah to come. Was that Elijah that Malachi in chapter 4, verse 5 prophesied? I will send you Elijah before the great and noble. What was the great and noble day? A king is born. The wise men knew it. You know it tonight, saints. You believe the plan. But how about you out there in radio land? Do you know the truth? Has the truth made you free? Or are you bound up in some church with a false prophet telling you that these things that we're teaching tonight are a lie? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is, the devil is the liar and the father of it. He don't want you to know you're an eternal being. He don't want you to know that you've got power over the devil, that you can handle him like the Bible says, they shall take up what? Serpents. And if they drink any what? It shall not what? Hurt them. And let me tell you, they shall lay hands on the spiritual sick. Brother Odell, when the truth hit me, I was spiritually sick. I've been in the Pentecostal church preaching the tradition of the Pentecostal for 30 years, and finally, somebody from glory came down and told me the truth. Praise Yahweh. And it opened up my understanding. It opened up my eyes. I ain't talking about the natural eye. I'm talking about the spiritual eye. And if you have ears to hear, acknowledge this, that Elijah was John the Baptist, born from Elizabeth's womb, who had gone into heaven and came back and got in her womb. Now, how that works, I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. Yahweh, with him, nothing is impossible.
The war started over the fact. We're going to go there, John, if you will. It's not on your list here, but we're going to go there. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to go to the 7th verse to confirm why that today the kingdom of heaven, the Messiah said, suffers violence. And violence takes it by force. Was he talking about that war? You know what it started over? Moses going into heaven, and the devil sprung into action.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there place found any more in heaven for the dragon.
Now, well, wait a minute. We'll get you to read just a little bit more here, John, because we're gonna explain just what John read. There was war in heaven. What was it over? Let's go back, John, to explain this. Let's go back to the book of Jude in chapter 1, and let's look at a few scriptures in the book of Jude. Now, the book of Jude is a book that will tell you some information about angels, and everybody needs to know exactly about angels. Let's start here, Brother John, as we go into the book of Jude. Let's start here, if you will, in verse 6.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
All right, let's go to 7.
Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in the like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Dare not bring an accusation against him, a railing accusation, but said, Yahweh rebuked thee. But thee.
All right, that's very good. Now, we proved to you that the battle in heaven was over Moses' body. Is that right? Well, ladies and gentlemen, can you dispute that? I don't think any Bible reader that's got spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear, you can't dispute the fact that the book of Jude says that Michael and his angels disputed with the devil and his angels over the body of Moses. Now, we know that Moses ascended into heaven after the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. We also know that John was with him as Elijah. Is that right? They said, we know that Elijah is supposed to come. The disciples didn't know it. They didn't know that John the Baptist was Elijah. They wasn't aware of that. But the Messiah told them, if you'll have it, if you have ears to hear, that was Elijah which was to come. Well, if John the Baptist was Elijah, and they killed John, and Yahweh was talking to him after his death, do you think he died and went to the graveyard? Where was he at? Was he in some graveyard waiting to be resurrected? He was already resurrected. You know what the Bible said in the 9th chapter of the book of John when the Messiah was talking to Mary? She said, well, I know you're raising the resurrection, talking about Lazarus. He said, I am the resurrection. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Well, ladies and gentlemen, John didn't die. They cut his head off and killed the flesh body, but the spirit was alive, and he was talking with the Messiah in the 17th chapter of the book, and the Messiah said, that was Elijah, John the Baptist, if you'll have it. Here's Moses, went to heaven, after he talked with the Messiah, and the angels rebelled, and they began to make war with Michael and his angels over the dispute of the body. Now, we done told you why they wanted the body. Satan wanted to keep the body of the law of Moses so he could accuse the brethren. We're all guilty. If he'd have got that law and if he'd have took over Moses' body, we'd all went to hell. We'd all been in bad shape. But ladies and gentlemen, when I told you that that man from glory, that man that was manifested to Moses back in Exodus chapter 33. He's seen his hinderparts, Brother Randy. That was your Messiah to come, brother. He was the man from Galilee. He was the flesh man that walked this earth in a physical body, but he was more than a man. When he came to the sea, he walked on the water. When he came to the graveyard, he got the dead up. Although they were speaking. And ladies and gentlemen, he's able to give you an eternal body that will live forever, never die, because you are in the resurrection right now. People waiting on the kingdom to come, it's already here. The kingdom is here, and we're the saints of Yahweh that are bringing it down, and glory, hallelujah, Yahweh is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. And what happens? They are saved. Now, we're down to the bottom of the hour. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You can write Pastor Buddy. By doing so, you can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Caswell, Tennessee. Now, we've got a DVD teaching on the resurrection. And if you'd like to have it, we could send it to you, and you could study these scriptures out in the quietness of your home, and you could understand. All the saints here believe this because they know the truth. They are advanced Bible students. They've come, like I have, through the trenches of Christianity, and they've clawed, and they dug, and they suffered, they hungered, they fasted, they prayed, they have investigated, they've searched the scripture daily, as the Bereans did in the 17th chapter, to find these things. And once you find the truth, you don't never want to let it go. You want to hold on it, to it, to eternity. Then after all of these things that you see here are temporal, we'll live on. You know who's going to inherit the earth? The saints of Yahweh. And as I said, even if you are dead in your flesh body, you're not out there in the graveyard. The Bible says in the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes that the body goes back to the dust, and the spirit that's in a man goes back to Yahweh who give it. I'm waiting on the transfiguration of my physical body to lay down, but I'm going to live forevermore. I'm never going to die. I'm going straight into the kingdom, and when Yahweh gathers us up and puts us on the chariots and brings us back to planet Earth, we will conquer it because we'll come with him. And all the saints that remain faithful, I hope they're keeping Passover, I hope they're keeping tabernacles, I hope it's a time, praise Yahweh, that the saints haven't lost their faith, because the Bible says, will I find faith on earth when I return? The question is, are you going to remain faithful? Well, write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, you can call me tonight, right on my cell phone, area code 423-626-21. No, that's my land phone. Call me on my land phone at area code 423-626-2172. Call me on my cell phone, 423-259-0606. And you could maybe reach us here tonight, praise Yahweh. We're having a great time, ain't we, saints? Let's all say, praise Yahweh! Hallelujah! Well, we just give you a big shout out there, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a Yahwist, we love you. If you've got the plan, stick with it. And all the saints that's made it back down here to North Carolina one more time to keep the fellowship. We've been here for many years preaching and teaching these marvelous things that the church, the bell boxes, won't preach. We preach a thing that they won't preach because, you know why? Because they're afraid to. It's not popular. We're not preaching doctrine because it's popular. We're preaching it because it's right. We're preaching the truth because the truth has made us free, and we know who Yahweh is. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you tonight, you've got some meat laid on your table if you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call here live on WWRB 3.185 around the world, clear channel, on the transmitting jewel of the South. We love you very much. We encourage you to hang on. Look up for your redemption and draw nigh. We'll see you Friday night. Now, saints, be back with me here at the festival on top of the mountain, and let's all preach another your message about Yahweh, which we'll do Friday night. Now, we'll be on Eastern Standard Time, 9:30. Make plans to join us if you can't attend the festival. Make plans to join us with